I appreciate that song. Because, you know, it doesn't take much looking over the past to realize the Lord sure had mercy on me. Not willing that any would perish, but that we'd all be able to make it, He had mercy on me. This morning I'd like to share something with you. The Lord is interested in us as we go through life, that it's not just when we read the Bible that we think about Him, but that we're able to see God in everything around us. That we can have an incident happen in our life that really has nothing to do with church services or anything. But as we go through that incident, we start getting lessons from God. I call them life lessons. It's possible for us to never think about God until I come to services, and I'll give Him that time and I'll think about Him. But what He would like for us to do, each one of us have different occupations. We have different things that happen to us through the day. And He would like for us to come to the place to where I think of God. I get a lesson from God in this. I'd like to share one with you today, a life lesson for me. Over the last several weeks at work, I've been going to classes. Their desire from that, the classes are for us to learn building efficiency. I work in an office building in Oklahoma City, and the electric bills, the utility bills, average about $150,000 a month. So they have classes that say, you know what, I want you to learn more about your building to where is there anything that would help you to be able to reduce the cost. So in doing that, you know, I go to the classes and I want to think big. You know, what can I do to come back and they really see a big old savings? Well, we have in these office buildings, in these two that I work in, we have 19 elevators. They use a lot of electricity. You know what, I can come back and say, you know what, I just went to class and I see a huge savings. If we'll turn those off and use a stairwell. We got 1,500 people in the building, but I tell you what, next month we'll see a huge electrical savings. You know what, that's a big one there. That's a big savings, but it won't work. Sometimes while looking for the huge, I pass up all the little. Now, I want you to think about, when you leave tonight, I don't want you really thinking about today. I don't want you to think about the building. But I'd like to be able to pick up some spiritual lessons from it. I can a lot of times think, Lord, I'm looking for the big. And in looking for the big, while I'm looking for it, I pass up all the little opportunities. So we had a few years ago a lighting retrofit come along, changing the old magnetic ballast to electronic ballast. And the savings per fixture per week would be 25 cents. What is a quarter? That's nothing. You could sometimes, you know, used to you would pick up a penny off the floor. Now you look, it's got to be something bigger than that to be worth the picking up. So what is a quarter nowadays? Well, the difference was that in a year's time, and we also have 7,000 of that fixture. So now it changes things. In a year's time, it was $91,000 worth of savings. So all of a sudden, that little one fixture that did a quarter and hardly seemed to be worth it, all of a sudden changes shape. Spiritually, I think about that. How many times I've told the Lord, Lord, I want to draw close to You. And I tell You, Lord, I'm looking for some big things here. I tell You, Lord, if I didn't have to work my job, I could stay home and I could read and pray. I'd have a whole lot of time. That'd be a big one right there. But then there's the verse that says, if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's denied the faith. He's worse than an infidel. So it's kind of like the elevators. That won't work. There's something else out here for me to do. While I'm waiting for the big one, there can be small ones pass me every day. That's what I'd like for us to look at today. Some of the small ones that can pass us up. I was thinking of a verse in 1 John 3:17. Whoso hath this world's good and see his brother have need, and he shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, you know, I can be looking in my life, I can be looking for the big one. Lord, I tell you what, when I retire, we're going to have some time to spend together. I'm going to really bear some fruit for you. You know, just last night, it was announced here, there's a brother in need. There, Brother Gracie has had trouble come to him. And you know what? There was nobody forced something. There was nobody went around and said, okay, you didn't give enough, you need to give some more. But instead, an opportunity was given to help somebody in need. We could say that sometimes the in this class that I went to, they said, you know, while you're looking for the big things, you can pass up some low-hanging fruit. I mean, it's right here, it's obvious, but it's not very big. It's sometimes the easiest things to get to we pass up while we're trying to find that big thing that I'm going to do for the Lord. The things that sometimes when I say mine won't make any difference. It's just too small to make a difference. I'd like for us to look at Matthew in the 25th chapter and in the 14th verse. We've read this many times about the man traveling into a far country, delivered to his servants some goods, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1. And I think about in this verse, what made the difference of who got 5, who got 2, and who got 1? This verse says it clearly, according to his several ability. What the Lord, the man that was leaving out, he knew what this person has the capability of doing. You know what? The Lord will not put on us more. He'll not require more of any one of us than what he knows we're capable of giving to him. And so maybe many times I'll find that I fall into the one category, the one talent. And I can look around, if I'm not careful, and see others that can do it so much better and say, I tell you, I believe I just won't do anything. I believe I'll just let them take care of it. It says about this one that didn't do it. At the end, he said, you know what, I was just afraid. And I went and hid the one talent that I had. It's still there. It hasn't been used. And I look at for myself, when we're talking about spiritual efficiency in my life, this is an area where I can say, Lord, I don't have the ability that others have. But I tell you what, here's what I have, and I'll give it to you. There is another one in the 15th chapter of Matthew, in the 32nd verse. It says, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I'll not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Here's one of these opportunities come along here. His disciples saying to him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith to them, how many loaves have ye? What do you have on hand? That's what he's asking for. Nor did he chide them that, well, why don't you have more than that to offer me? He says, how many do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And they even, why did they say little fishes? You know, a lot of times you talk to somebody that is just coming back from fishing, and they'll tell you, do they talk to you about the little fishes? Uh-uh. Usually it's one that got away. And I don't think a lot of people are wanting to stretch it too much, but to them, by the time they got it up to the side of the boat, it was a big fish, but it got away. Here, the disciples stressed, Lord, these are little fishes. What will they do with so great a multitude? Kind of like the one with the one talent, it'll hardly make a difference. There's not much that it can do. But whenever I look on down there, he went ahead and took it, and he blessed it. And in the 36th verse, he took the 7 loaves and the fishes. He didn't call them little because he's fixing to do something with them. He gave thanks, he broke them, gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. You know what? If God will bless your efforts, they'll be sufficient. They'll cover the need that is present. But I need to realize, you know what? It'll come from the Lord. Because even standing here this morning, I'm reminded of the verse that Jesus tells us, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing that will have eternal value. Yes, I may put some effort in, but I tell you what, if the Lord's not in it, it won't amount to anything. So back to the class, they were telling us, okay, if you want to make a difference in your building's efficiency, for the future, you need to review the past. And I thought about that. I went back to work, and they give us 2 weeks to go back to our building and do what they said and then bring it back again for the next class. So I went back to the building, and they said, take each of your utilities and each month how much you use and put them on a graph. Do as many years, do several years, and put them together. And I was able to do something. You know, before, we just take the bill and say, you know what, we're doing all we can do. We got to pay it because we want the lights on for next month. But instead, now we start putting it on a plot to where I can see this whole year together. And I start seeing seasonal trends. I see where this electric tells me about the summer months coming on. But I see a spike out here on a month that should not have happened. And, you know, if I'd been watching all along, I could have been able to see, you know what, there's something maybe happening this month here that doesn't normally happen, and would be able to make a change in it. Well, I even had at home, we have a well that's a little distance from our house, and it has a meter by itself on it. And, you know, we just pay the monthly bill as it comes in. But they also, if you look on a lot of people's electric bill, they will show you a little graph. It'll tell you, you use this much. And a lot of times they even have a little chart there that it's going up. Well, one month I looked at it, and it had just steadily been increasing more and more. And I'd just been paying the bill. But by looking at that chart, by looking at that graph, I said, you know, we're really not using more water every month. Something's gone wrong. I need to go check into this. So I went over to the well, and I started checking and found out, you know what, just a little bit of checking told me. What happened is at the bottom of the well is a check valve. So the pump would come on, it would run, it'd fill the system, satisfy, and it'd shut off. But the check valve was leaking by. So the pressure leaked back down again, causing the pump to start up again. And it just had cycle after cycle. Something, a pretty small thing, if you knew that you had a problem, to be able to take care of, that you would take care of. And I think about for myself spiritually. There's a song, number 442, it says, I would be nearer my Savior, where I can hear thy voice, falling in tenderest whispers, making my heart rejoice, says, draw me close to thee. Keep me, dear Savior, so near thy side, draw me close to thee. Where they told us in class, you know what, if you want to change your future, it would do you good to look at the past. There's another song that says, and we sang it earlier in this week, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Isaiah 51 and the first verse of that chapter says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the pit whence ye are digged. Advice to us to remember back to where the Lord brought me from. For me to make a change in the future, I need to be able to remember where he brought me from in the past. Now, Israel looked back. When they were in the wilderness, they looked back. But their looking back was a longing. We remember the cucumbers. We remember the melons. We have forgotten that we were slaves back there, but we only have a desire, and that's not the remembering that we're talking about. We're remembering what he would like for us to remember by looking at the past is, Lord, I remember who I used to be. I don't want to go back there anymore. If I want to change my future, I need to remember the past. There's another song that says, when I look o'er the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. I'd like to talk to the young people. Because as I look at the past, I want to always remember that it don't repeat it out in the future. Mom and Dad, when I lived at home, they were from the old school. Taking the verse Proverbs 22 and 6 and saying, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, does that mean everyone that is trained is going to choose that way and they'll never depart? I believe what it means is they may choose to go another way, But they'll never forget the teachings. Those teachings will always be there to check them for a desire to help them to change. And that's what happened in my home. Mom and Dad, with a desire that I would one day, when it comes my time to step out on my own, that I would be able to make those decisions. They knew that they can't make a saint out of me. But I believe they felt like, you know what? It's our place to guide him until he's out on his own to where he will remember. I wish I could tell you that, you know what, and some people here can tell us, from a very young child, my desire was always to live for the Lord. I just, anytime the Lord would check me a little bit, I'd make that turn. I wish I could say that. But I found, as I look back, that so much of my childhood was, I would do right only because Mom and Dad says you're going to do right. It wasn't in the heart. I was looking at an incident in the early 70s. The style was long hair for boys, men. It was just the hippie age. And you know, it wasn't in my heart to do right, but I'm living at home where Mom and Dad have the guidelines. And you know, I want to blend in with the world around me, so I'd kind of like to have my hair longer. Well, I had a little problem, though. Mom was my barber. And she probably felt the stress from all that. And I've thought before about these young men that chose then to go into the military. They go in there with their hair looking so good and long, and they walk through a line, and they pass the barber chair. I remember, I think Brother Sammons and others talking to us about it. They got to go by the barber chair. And sometimes the barber would take a look at it and he said, young man, you want to keep your sideburns? And, you know, they had always heard everything goes. And he said, oh, yes, sir, I'd love to. So he cuts them off and he hands them to him. And that was how it was. It's just, it's going to happen. This is the rule here. And that's the way Mom had it is, Dan, you know, it's not really about what you want. And I guess maybe on this one time the stress was pretty high and she started cutting. And that's not really a good time to have stress because she continued to cut until when she finished and I looked in the mirror, I said, this is it. I got to do something. I'm in trouble because I'm going to go back out in the public again. And it was close. It was a close haircut. Close enough that she later, you know, wish I could do something different, but you know, there's nothing different you can do about it then. And so I said, I've got to make a change. Well, I want to fit. I don't want to be different. So here was my thinking, and this was kind of a pattern for me as a young person. I want to fit. So I looked in the mirror and I saw what it was and I said, I'm going to fix this thing. So I went down to the Army surplus store and I bought me some combat boots. And I'd wear them around to where maybe this will look like I'm home on leave from this. And that's just, as a young person, instead of convictions of my own, but Mom and Dad didn't say, you know what, it's not worth the effort. Let's just let him go do what he wants to do. Instead, they kept heading me in the right direction. Dan, you're going to make a decision one day what you do on your own. We want to be able to guide you in the right direction. To the young people here today, I'd like to say each young person passes the same stage that I passed through. Your parents have a desire for you to do right. They want to guide you in the right direction. But you'll have a choice one day. And what they're trying to do is they know that they won't be able to force that on you all the time. But what their desire is that those right directions that they have taken you, that they would be your own decision, your own desire by the time you go out on your own. And I'm thinking of the verse in Proverbs 23 and 26 where God comes along and says, my son, give me your heart. That's what it's really going to take in the end. For me to be able, and it's good for me today, to look back at where the Lord has brought me from. Because I want to tell you another danger of where I was. When it's not in your heart, and yet your parents are holding you here because We know that one day you're going to have your own decisions, but when you make those own decisions, we want you to know what's right and wrong. I fell into a category back then. Was I learned that it was easier around the house if I was a hypocrite. It wasn't in my heart. But I knew, you know what, there's less stress around the house if I play the game. That's a dangerous place to live. For one reason, if I'm not careful, when I'm out of that situation and now I'm on my own, I can continue to play the game. But what I'd like to tell you is I am so thankful that right in there, the Lord started calling. Dania, you'll soon be able to be on your own. You'll soon be able to make your own decisions. We've heard this verse already in the meeting, Deuteronomy 30 and 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. You know, that was the Lord's call to me as a young person. When I moved from the place where mom and dad are directing me of what to do to the place where I make my own decisions, the Lord's saying, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. And you know, as it will with most young people, you'll move from a place that you're choosing life as a single young person, or death affects you by yourself. But I want to tell you, when you get married and you have a child, you're now responsible for more than that. The price is higher should you not choose life. The price is higher should I decide, you know what, it worked for me back with mom and dad. I fooled them a whole lot of times. I believe I can just continue playing the part. As I look at Ananias and Sapphira, I wonder if we had a book of their life. What did it read? What would it have read like? Did they have a place where they were really sincere about living for the Lord? What caused them to be able to drift? Those things in my life where that I see as the past, if I don't want the future to be like it, I need to remember, Lord, here's where you brought me from, and I appreciate it. Joshua 24 and 15, it says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And he gave them the options back and forth. Now, here's some options that you have. Here's these different ways that you can go. But then he ended it with a solid conviction. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I was looking at a saying by Sir Winston Churchill. Said, those who fail to learn from the past, they're doomed to repeat it. If I didn't learn from the mistakes in my past, now I remember there's a place where Paul came to that he said, forgetting the past and looking forward to those things. There is a place for that. There's also a place for me to remember, Dan, those things that the Lord delivered you from lay wait for you should you ever let up. I'd like to go to a verse in Matthew. In the 12th verse, 12th chapter. We've read this before. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out, and whence he has come. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. It's going to be real important for me after the Lord has saved me, for me to fill it with things that when the devil comes back to see if there's room for him, there'll be no room for him to come back. Because it says, then goeth he and he taketh with him seven other spirits that are more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Didn't profit by where I came from, and I continue, and I went right back again. To each of us here today, we have heard all through this meeting, there is power to be able to live a holy life. Let's be on guard, because I tell you, the devil today is pressing hard around us. We're in a pressing time. I have at home, we have a couple cows now that we bought them as baby calves and bottle fed them and raised them up. And they are just, you see one and you see the other. They're just right there together. But the other day I was out repairing a fence and they were over there pretty close. And they were probably just playing, but I heard a crack. And I looked over there and they had just run head on into each other, just butted heads. And then they backed off and tried it again. And then, you know, one of them, he kind of lost her footing. And that one just started, she just running backwards because the other one was just pushing her across the field there. You know what? There's a life lesson in that one too. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's wanting to push us from where we are back to where we used to be. There's a press on today. Today, there's a push to press the Christian back in the corner, ashamed of what we believe. And if we're not ashamed of it, I believe I'll just keep it to myself because it's not welcome in this society anymore. There is a push today, a press, about our stand on gay marriage and gay rights. But really, is it our stand or is it the Bible stand? Those things that are the Bible stand, it's not about what I think about it anyhow, no matter which way I should choose to believe about it. The Bible is real clear on that. But I tell you what, we're up against a time right now where the press is going to be not only for you to just be quiet, but for you to accept it. There is also something today, Hollywood is setting the standards of modesty, immodesty. And I look at some of those standards and I wonder, how could a person ever go down that road? There are men over the past few years that when they walk around with their hand on their hip. And it just, in my mind, it gives me a picture of back in the West when things were dangerous and you're just ready to pull the gun. But that's not why they do it. Somewhere, somehow, Hollywood or somebody said, here's you a fad, men. Wear your britches so loose that you can't do anything with one hand because you got to hold them up. And how anybody would say, I want that. That is what I want to have in my life. A while back at work, in the middle of our two buildings is a public place where people can come and go. And the police came in and arrested a man right there in the atrium, put him in handcuffs, and starts to head him outside. But this man had fallen for that style, and he took about two steps, and he did not have hands to hang on. And right there in the atrium, his pants went to the floor. And so I had a coworker there with me, and he said, Dan, I'm going to go help him out. So he went to the officer, the police officer, and he said, sir, if you need help, I'll get those back up for him. He said, no, leave them down, because he won't run now. And he baby-stepped it all the way out. You know what? We're living in a time where Hollywood can say, oh, but this is the way for you to go. This is the thing that is so great to be able to do. How many of those things, if a person could step back and take a look at that lifestyle, they'd say, no, there's no way I'd do that. There is another one that I have seen recently. You know, used to, I would think, you know what, if anyone got their ear pierced, that's terrible to have that tiny little hole in there that a earring can go in. But there's a little eating place there in the atrium that I started watching this guy. I don't know what it's called, but he didn't have just the little hole. He had something that he was training in his ear. He would take a little disc and starting out real, real small, and he would have a hole punched in his ear, and he would put that disc in there, and it would stretch it. It had to have hurt. It would stretch it for so many days until he could bear that pain, and then the next size disc would go in it. And the next size, and stepping up through sizes to where before he quit, when he left, that disc that was in his earlobe was about the size of a quarter. And you could put your small finger through it. And I remember when I was at home, Mom used to use this. It was what she would use to direct me sometimes, was my ear. And this is now somebody, the world, somebody said, this will be great. Now I thought about this. This is a young fella right now, and he does not, he thinks this is great. But you know, someday, he's probably going to be a grandfather. And his grandson will say, Grandpa, what happened to your ear? Those things that out in the future, to think about what the devil will take people to follow him. And here we are. The devil wants to push us in a corner. I want to say to godly women, thanks. Because somebody has told women out in the world, you need to draw attention to yourself. Folks, I want to tell you, there'll be nothing that'll beat the Bible way. Because there's a price tag attached to these things. There's a price tag attached to the guy that has this in his ear and continues on. He keeps on living and he moves past that stage, hopefully. And he has a price to pay from it. To us, each one today, to the young people, as you feel the pressures of the world around you, and maybe you wouldn't go that way, but it puts the pressure on you where you want to back off in the corner. Maybe not say anything, but I want to tell you, live the life. Because it's going to shine out to the godly women. Live the life. Because there'll be some people that'll respect it, even in this world today. There's a song that says, the world's fierce winds are blowing, temptations are sharp and keen, but I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. As a Christian, we're in a safe place today. There was a place in the Old Testament that says, only with your eyes will you see all this trouble around you. The Lord will protect you from it. Think of one other verse. And having done all to stand, just stand, therefore. Because the Lord will put his approval, his stamp of approval on us. So to the young people, I want to encourage you, as the world grows more and more wicked, and they come up with more and more things that this is the way to go, this is what to do, and it seems like it's putting more and more of a gap between the Christian and the world, let it be so, because God's approval will rest on it. In closing, I'd like for us to sing a song. And I'd like for us to stand. This song is not in our book, but I think a lot of people know it. If we could stand, please, and sing this song with me. And if there's anyone today that has felt the pressure from the world around you to back off, maybe even to accept it, the Lord says, I tell you what, I'll strengthen your resolve. He'll do it today. It's so easy, Lord, to stumble in this dark world we're living in. While old Satan goes to and fro, there's so many who are falling. Yes, they're falling every day. So help me stand, Lord, the way you stood long ago. Help me stand by your grace. And look the whole world in place and see your word where it never went.
give me grace, Lord, in every trial you see me struggling to win. Give me power.